For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Good evening, and Afreil with Mechanica to everyone. This week's parasha is Miketz, and it is also Shabbos Mevarchim Teves, the month in which many sad events occurred, Asara B'Teves, naming one, the translation of the Torah into Greek, the death of Ezra. Chanukah takes us into the month of Teves, because Chanukah always falls out as the month of Teves begins. It begins tonight, Chof Hei Kislev, and it goes into Teves. In fact, this year, being that there was only one day Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah will go 3 days into the month of Teves, illuminating the dark month of Teves, called by Chazal the Leilei Teves Ho'aruchen, the long nights, the long dark nights of Teves. Chanukah has the power to illuminate the darkness that we know from what Chazal tells us, that Choshech is Yavan. That's the Or of Chanukah. The Or of Chanukah has the power to illuminate the Choshech, not only the Choshech of Yavan, but the Choshech that followed, which is our current Golus, the Golus of Edom and Yishmael, which Chanukah has the power to affect in a positive way. The Medrash at the beginning of this week's parasha, Vayehi Miketz Shnosayim Yamim, the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Iyov, Ketz Son LaChoshech, he put an end to the darkness. The Medrash says this refers to the end, literally, of Yosef's incarceration, where he was in darkness. He was under the ground. He hadn't seen the light of day for 12 years. And now, Ketz Son LaChoshech, Yosef is experiencing the end. The end of his personal darkness and his revelation, becoming the viceroy over Mitzrayim, the Mishnah LaMelech, which is a metaphor to Klal Yisrael also, and when they end their golus and are redeemed and retain the status of Bnei Yisrael Melachim Haim, Kol Yisrael Melachim Haim, Bnei Melachim Haim. Why is it that this parasha, Miketz, is always the parasha that we read Chanukah time? We know that there is nothing coincidental, especially when it comes to Torah. And Chanukah always is in the week of Miketz. Even if it's not exactly Shabbos Miketz, like it's this year, 99% of the time it is. But it always falls out in the week of Miketz. And so the Bnei Yisoschar and all the Sfarim show us many remazim to Chanukah in this parasha. But what does the parasha really have to do with Chanukah? The parasha begins with the end of Yosef's incarceration, his ability to decipher, to interpret the dreams of Paroi, which no one else was able to do, which is what brings him to the forefront, which is what gives him the title Tzofnas Paneach. Tzofnas Paneach means the one who reveals the hidden secrets, and as a result he rules over Mitzrayim, which is also the interpretation of Yosef's own dreams, where he sees the bundles bowing to him, the sun and the moon and the stars bowing to him, and here's where it's going to take place. It starts in this week's parasha. The parasha ends with a very strange story, a story that for children it sounds like it's a game, and perhaps like a Chanukah game here, or some dreidel story here, where Yosef orders Menashe, as most say, it's Menashe that he told us to place his silver goblet in the sack of Binyamin. And the brothers, who at that time don't know what's going on, are frightened and they're worried what might happen to them, what might happen to Binyamin. The whole future of Klal Yisrael is hanging here. It's so dangerous, we don't know what's going to happen, if Binyamin is going to be taken as a slave, and if they're going to return to Yaakov without him, and Yaakov will die of aggravation. We know, we're learning this parasha, that this was just It looked like it was a tragedy, but it was not. Yosef is preparing them for the eventual revelation. He's going to reveal himself soon to them. He's testing them, as the Alshich says. He wanted to see if they were going to risk everything for Binyamin. So with that, they will rectify what they did to him. Others say he did this so that they should be punished in this world rather than be punished in the next world. Being that we are reading this in the week of Chanukah, what's the connection between this part of the parasha to Chanukah? We know that the beginning and the end of every parasha are connected. So the parasha begins with the Ketz, the end of Yosef's incarceration, Ketz Sam Lachoshech, Vayhimi Ketz Shnasayim Yomim, the interpretation of the dreams, and that ends with the silver goblet being placed in the sack of Binyamin, leading to the Shvatim having to return to Mitzrayim. It seems to intensify their aggravation to the point that they are all confused, disillusioned, no one knows what's going to happen here. And that's how the parasha ends. Obviously, if someone didn't learn Parashas Vayigash, it's very exciting to know, like, what happens after this. We know the outcome, but at the end, when you finish Miketz, the outcome hasn't happened yet. So it ends in a very confusing and disillusionment over here, for the Shvatim especially. There's a tremendous amount of aggravation there. The Shvatim find themselves in tremendous darkness. The Parsha begins with the end of the darkness, and the Parsha ends with the Shvatim finding themselves in a tremendous darkness, although it wasn't real. It was an illusion, but it was a darkness for the Shvatim. The Svarim tell us that there's only one time in the entire Chumash, in the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah, where the word Chanukah is hinted. And that is in this week's parasha, where it says, when Yosef sees Binyamin for the first time, he asks that his brothers be brought into his home for a meal. And the Pasuk uses the following expression, U'tevayach tevach v'hochein. A slaughtering shall take place. They're going to shecht an animal and they're going to prepare it. So in the words Tevach v'hochein, Tevach ends with a ches, v'hochein is vav hei chof nun, that's Chanukah. Scramble, that's Chanukah backwards. That's the only time you'll have these letters one after the other of ches, nun, vav, chof, hei in the entire Chumash. You have the word Chanukas without a vav. We lay in on Chanukah, in fact, from that parasha, it's Chanukas ha-mizbeach. But the word Chanukah with a vav, as it appears here, these letters together are not found anywhere else. It's certainly interesting, because since this is always the parasha that Chanukah falls out, the Torah has already prepared the Yomtov of Chanukah in Parashas Miketz way before the Yomtov even occurred. Parashas Miketz, of course, is said and written way before the Yomtov of Chanukah, and yet the Torah placed the remez to Chanukah here. The question is, why here? What does Chanukah have to do with Yosef meeting Binyamin for the first time after so many years and asking that a meal be served for his brothers? The Gemara in Chulin says on this Pasuk, Tvayach Terach V'Hochein, that Yosef told Menashe, who was his interpreter, his supposed interpreter, because they didn't know that Yosef really did know Lashon HaKodesh, the one who took care of his house, the one who took care of all his matters, he told him, show my brothers that the animal was slaughtered. Pravahen beis hashchita. Show them the neck, like open the neck and show them that the simanim was slaughtered properly. We know that an animal, in order to be eaten, has to be shechted properly, and the two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe, have to be slaughtered. The kona and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus. Then the Gemara says, he also said, remove the gid hanosha. So the Gemara says that there are two things taking place here. Yosef is showing the brothers, they don't know he's Yosef, but Yosef is telling Menashe to show them that the animal is going to be slaughtered properly, or was slaughtered properly, and that the Gid HaNosha was removed. Well, some say he told them to remove the Gid HaNosha. This is where Chanukah is hinted. What does Chanukah have to do with Shechita, with Gid HaNosha, with this Pasuk, and the fact that it's in this parasha? We mentioned a few weeks ago, the Gemara says in Ksubas, the famous Gemara on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Hishbati Eschem B'nois Yerushalayim B'tzva'ois Oy Ba'ailois Hasoda Im Ta'iru V'im Ta'iru Esa Ahava Atcha Techpats. Here the Gemara tells us that Hashem made Klal Yisrael swear, those are the famous Sholeh Shavuos, that we're not allowed to rebel against the nations, as long as we're in Golos. We're not supposed to reveal the Ketz. We're not supposed to push for it too hard. We're not supposed to distance the Ketz by our Averus, making the coming of Mashiach happen later, Chas V'Sholem. And we're not allowed to all go together to Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes. This is that famous Gemara, the Gemara of the Sholeh Shavuos. However, there is a time during the year when these Shavuos do not apply. When one such time is Hanukkah. Not that on Hanukkah we can rebel against the nations or that we can suddenly go to Eretz Yisrael without Mashiach. Of course not. But it means Beruchnius. Since Hanukkah, as the Svarim tell us, is the Yomtif in which the Oyer of Mashiach is revealed, we sort of find ourselves in Yemais HaMashiach. Beginning tonight, we are living in Yemais HaMashiach. We are now living in the future. We are now living in La'osid Lavai. La'osid Lavai, which is the Gematria Ketz HaMashiach. The Ketz of Mashiach, which is La'osid Lavai, is where we find ourselves now, during these 8 days. Hopefully, for good. Hopefully, we'll stay there. But right now, we're there. In the Yemais HaMashiach, obviously, there are no restrictions. These oaths will be abolished, will be nullified, will be allowed to rebel, will have to go into the world of the nations, and the Ketz will be revealed. There won't be an Isser to reveal the Ketz, because the Ketz is here. And we will be going to Eretz Yisrael naturally, and Mashiach will be taking us there. We find this even in Chazal. This is not just some way out interpretation. We find this by Shimshon. By Shimshon it says, "Hu yochel hoishia es Yisrael." The word yochel, the Gemara interprets yochel from the word lo yachel devaroi, concerning that one is not allowed to be machalel his nether. If one makes a promise, an oath, he's not allowed to violate the oath that he made. He has to keep to it, unless he goes to a chacham, or if it's a woman, unless her husband or a girl, if her father is made for the nether. So by Shimshon it says, "Hu yochel hoishia es Yisrael," that in his time, the Shavua, where we are prohibited from entering into the world of the nations and rebelling against them, was allowed to be violated. Because Shimshon was the neshama of Mashiach. We find, probably from all the Shoiftim, there was no one who antagonized nations as much as Shimshon did. If you read through the story, it sounds like he's really teasing them over and over again. He's definitely antagonizing the nations. So, because Shimshon was a neshama of Mashiach, in fact, Yaakov Avinu thought that Shimshon was Mashiach, as we see in Parshas Vayechi, in the bracha of Dan, Yehi Dan Nachash Alei Derech. So, Shimshon, being that he was a bechina of Mashiach, in his time, he was able to go into the world of the nations. He was able to rebel against the nations. On Chanukah and on Purim, these are the two Yomim Tovim, that we enter into the world of Esav, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. And therefore, which of course the world of Esav is the outside world, that's what we like the Menorah, below 10 Tfachim, on the left side of the doorway, which the left side is the side of Esav, and so on. Therefore, Chanukah is a Heora of the Ketz. The Ketz of Mashiach, which no one knows that Ketz, that which says in Daniel, that this is going to remain hidden at Ace Ketz. Ace Ketz is the time of the end. The Ketz Hayomim. As Daniel ends his Sefer, V'tamoid l'gayrolcha l'Ketz Hayomim. The eventual Ketz, which no one knows, as the Zohar says, Libi l'puma loy galya. Hashem never revealed it to anyone. Although the greatest have tried to figure it out, and they've given Zmanim and so on, no one knows exactly when the Ketz is. The Ace Ketz, the actual Ketz. On Chanukah, we're there. Chanukah, we are experiencing the Yemais HaMashiach, and therefore on Chanukah, we enter into the world of the Ketz. And that's why we always read Chanukah time, Pashas Miketz. Ketz Sam LaChoshech, we are now experiencing the end of the Choshech, the end of, not only the end of the Choshech of Yosef's incarceration, the end of Golus Yavan, which is compared to Choshech, but also the end of our Golus. The beginning of Chumash talks about the Ketz. Chumash begins with Vayara Elohim es Ha'or Ki Toiv, Vayavdel. Hashem set aside the hidden light for the future. This is the famous Or HaGonuz, which exists in every one of our Chanukah lights that we are lighting. Tzadikim had a custom, they would stare into the lights of Chanukah. obviously they would see things. We look at it, even if we don't see anything, but we know we're looking at the Or HaGonis. We're looking at the Oyer of the Yemais HaMashiach. And that's mentioned to us right at the beginning of Chumash. Vayara lehim es ha'or ki toi vayavdel. Rashi says, Hivdiloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'gonzoi l'tzadikim le'osid lovoi. He hid it for the future. Now we're in the future. This Yom Tov Chanukah is a time when that hidden light is revealed, the Kates of Mashiach. And that's where we find ourselves. Es ha'or ki toi is b'gematria es Kates. That's the Ace Kates. The Kates was already revealed at the beginning of creation, and then it was put away, it was hidden. On Chanukah we get a taste of it. That's where we find ourselves now. We find ourselves now in the Ace Kates. And when we are in the Ace Kates, the restrictions, the limitations that exist in Golus do not apply. The Shvuos, based on this pasuk of Shir HaShirim, Hishbati Eschem Benoisi Rushalayim, Im Ta'iru Ve'im Ta'iru, that we're not allowed to awaken that time on our own, Ad Eis Kates, Ad Shetechbots. Shetechbots means until He wants. We have to wait for Hashem. When Hashem wants, that's when it's going to happen. It's amazing that the words Shetechbots, Shin Tov Ches Pei Tzadik, is Begematria Hatlokas Ner Chanukah. Shetechbots, by Hatlokas Ner Chanukah, we find ourselves in that time that Hashem wants to reveal the Kates, in the time when that awakening is going to take place. Chanukah is a time of awakening. Kates also comes from the word kitzo, which means to awake. We have in this week's parasha, Vayikatz Paroi, Paroi woke up, Vehinei Chaloim. The Zohar says, whenever it says Paroi in Chumash, it's really referring to Hashem. Paroi, the Isperihu Minei Kulhu Yoimim. Paroi comes from the word para, which means to reveal. Hashem, who is the ultimate revelation, Hashem who reveals everything, the same Hashem who's able to conceal is the one who reveals. Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of revelation, Vayikatz Paroi, Kaviyochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakens, because there's a pasuk, Ura Lo Masishan Hashem. Awake, why are you sleeping, Hashem? There's a pasuk, which the last Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni tells us that Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, and many say this is the father of Matisyahu, Yoichanan Kohen Gadol bitel es hama'oirin. He was upset with the Levim who would say this pasuk in the Beis HaMikdash. Ura lo masishan Hashem. Who are we to tell Hashem to wake up? We have no right to tell Hashem to wake up. How can we talk to Hashem though? Is Hashem our friend? And what do you think? He's really sleeping anyway. Hinei v'yonim v'leishan shem Yisrael. So it says, Yoichanan Kohen Gadol was mevatel v'ma'oirin. He abolished the custom, which was a custom that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, interestingly, where the Levim used to say every day, Hashem, please wake up, don't sleep. Chazal explained to us that in Golos, it's considered as if Kaviyachal Hashem is sleeping. Ani Yishena V'libi Er, Ani Yishena B'Golusa. But at a time of Geula, at a time of revelation, there's an awakening. Rosh Hashanah, for example, is a time when there's an awakening, there's a spiritual awakening. Why do we blow the shofar? Uru Yishenim, as the Rambam writes, wake up, sleepy heads. Chanukah, which is the extension of Rosh Hashanah, as we know, Rosh Hashanah is Begematria Matisyahu. Chanukah, which is the extension of Tishrei in general, those who did not wake up then, those who shut the alarm clock and went back to sleep, have a chance now to wake up. Chanukah is another Hisoirus, it's another Yom Tov of awakening. And therefore, just like we are allowed to sort of Kaviyahu wake up Hashem, even though the Shavuah says that we're not allowed, Bisman HaGolus, but at the time of Chanukah it is permitted, it's expected that we wake up. This is the Yom Tov of Vayikatz Paroi. Or as we say in the Haftarah this week we're not going to be reading the Miketz Haftarah. This week we're going to be reading the Haftarah from Zechariah, where it says, Vayireini, and he woke me up. Ke'ish ashe ye'oir mishinos, like a man who was awakened from his sleep. This is Red Chanukah time, because Chanukah is the Yom Tov of awakening. And it's interesting that every month has a different mode. As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, Kislev, it says, is the mode of sleeping. Himlich ois samach b'shina. Kislev is the month of sleeping. And yet in Kislev, we have Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of awakening. Awakening, the first siman of Shulchan Aruch, the first sif is to wake up. Oira HaShachar. Zrizus. The Bach explains the reason why Golus Yavan occurred was because the Jews at that time lacked in Zrizus. They didn't have the the excitement and enthusiasm in serving Hashem. They lacked that enthusiasm that was necessary in Avodas Hashem. They were sort of lazy. There was a hisrashlus, he says, in Avodah. And that's why the Yevanim entered the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Makom HaAvodah, and defiled it. Chanukah is the yontif where the Machashmonaim go re-enter the Beis HaMikdash, clean it out, and prepare it and inaugurate it once again to be able to be used. Therefore, Chanukah, which comes from the word chinuch, which Chanukah is an expression of hischatcha, this is the yontif of renewal, it is the yontif of reawakening, which is another interpretation of Kates. Kates not only means the end of Golus, the end of Choshech, but it is also an expression of Kitzah, which means to wake up. Ta'iru ta'iru, ha'ira v'ha'kitzah l'mishpati. As we say concerning Tchias HaMesim, ha'kitzu v'rananu shaychnei ofar. Chanukah is the yontif of Tchias HaMesim. We're all waking up, even the spiritual dead, even those who after Tishrei sort of passed away spiritually. They fell asleep again. We woke up on Rosh Hashanah, and then again on Yom Kippur perhaps, and then on Hoshana Rabbah, and then we went back to sleep. So Chanukah is a time of Tchias HaMesim. Chanukah, we're waking up. Golus is compared to a dream. We say in Shir HaMalos, Oz Yimoleis Choyk Pinu L'Shoineinu Rina. Before that we say Shir HaMalos, B'Shuv Hashem as Shivas Tzion. When Shivas Tzion takes place, Oz Hayinu Kecholmen. Shivas is the same letters as Tishbi. When Eliyahu HaTishbi comes, which Shivas is equal to the word Chanukah 8 times. Chanukah 89 multiplied by 8 is Shivas. B'shuv Hashem as Shivas Tzion, Hayinu Kecholmen. Everything is a dream. We realize life was a dream. Golus is a dream. It's not real. The real existence of a Jew is in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Where we are now, this is just an illusion. We don't really belong here. It's a dream. The Asfarim who interpret this pasuk, miketz, when it comes to the end, when a person reaches the last day of his life, shnasayim yamim, and all the years pass by like days, shnasayim yamim, you realize how fast life really is. Uparay choylem, and it is revealed, paray from the word para, which means to reveal that choylem, it was all a dream. Life is like just a dream. Golus is a dream, but it's a dream that the only way that the dream can be interpreted is when the Geula comes, when there's the Kates. When the Kates arrives, the dream is interpreted. Yosef has the ability to interpret dreams here. Yosef was in jail for 10 years because he spoke about his 10 brothers. He gossiped. He said, Vayoveh Yosef es dibosom royal avihem. So Chazal tells us for every brother that he spoke against, he had to remain in jail for a year, and then 2 more years because he put his faith in the Sar HaMashkim, 12 years altogether. After that, Yosef was misaken that which he violated, that which he transgressed, the Lashon Hara that he committed. However, we're talking about Yosef HaTzadik here, obviously, and it was all the Shem Shemayim. But the Diba, the gossip of Yosef, which causes him to be incarcerated for 10 years, he's now rectified, and therefore he is now Naki in Shmiras HaPeh, and the only way that it's possible for one to interpret a dream is if he is Naki in Shmiras HaPeh, because the Gemara says, Kol HaChalayim is Hoylchem Achar HaPeh. Only one who has a pure mouth can interpret dreams. Yosef, you see, is able to interpret dreams beginning after being 10 years in prison. After he's 10 years in prison, that's when he encounters the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOifim, and he interprets their dreams. Here in this parasha, he interprets the dream of Paroi, and now his dreams come to fruition, his own dreams. And as we mentioned in the previous weeks, Binyamin never spoke Lashon Hara. Binyamin, as we said, the stone of Binyamin is Yoshfe, Yesh Peh V'Shoyzeik. Binyamin had a mouth, but he was quiet. He could have spoken, but he didn't. He knew that the brothers sold Yosef. He never told his father. And because he didn't talk, and because he never bowed to Esav, so he is zeicher that the Beis HaMikdash is built in his portion of land, and Kislev, which is his month, is the month of Chanukah. But actually, it's Yosef and Binyamin together. Yosef and Binyamin together bring us Chanukah and Purim. Yosef and Binyamin together give us the ability to combat the nations. And even Bizman HaGolus, when Chanukah and when Purim arrive, We're in a different world. We're in Yemais HaMashiach. On Purim, Mordechai is not bowing to Esav. Mordechai seems to be antagonizing Haman. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachav. Mordechai, the descendant of Binyamin. And on Chanukah, we are performing this mitzvah differently than any other mitzvah on the left side and on the outside, which is the boundary of Esav. This is Yosef and Binyamin together. When Yosef and Binyamin are together, we're not afraid of anything. When they're separated, that's when they're at Tzaris. As we mentioned last week, Yosef was separated from Binyamin, and therefore Yishmael sells Yosef. Yishmael comes because Yosef and Binyamin are not together. Binyamin, as we mentioned, he's Sitnai Shal Yishmael, as the Megala Amukus writes, that Yosef is the rival of Esav, Binyamin is the rival of Yishmael. And when Yosef and Binyamin are together, we don't have to fear Esav or Yishmael. When Yosef and Binyamin are separated, that's when they're at Tzaris. In our parasha, Yosef and Binyamin are reunited, but they don't know it yet. At least Binyamin doesn't know it yet. Yosef knows it, Binyamin doesn't know it. When Yosef sees Binyamin, Vayar Yosef itam es Binyamin, that's when Yosef is no longer afraid. That's when Chanukah is revealed. And that's why the remes to Chanukah in the words Utvayach Tevach Vehochein, Ches Vav Heichof Nun, is in the Pasuk, where the Torah tells us that Yosef sees Binyamin for the first time after not seeing him for 22 years. The two are united. The two who are the only children of Rachel Imenu, and as the Gemara says, Mipnei Boneho Shel Rachel, Esav Amalek will fall. Amalek can only fall in the hands of the descendants of Rachel, which is Yosef or Binyamin. Shaul HaMelech, Yeshua Ben Nun, Mashiach Ben Yosef, Mordechai and Esther, all are descendants of either Yosef and Binyamin. When we have Yosef and Binyamin together, we have Chanukah and Purim. And that's why right after this, Yosef and Binyamin and all the brothers sat and drank wine, and they became drunk. Vayishtu vayishkru ima, he says, the Sfas Emes, Purim was revealed here. They weren't allowed to drink wine, really, because they had sworn that they're not going to drink wine as long as their father is in mourning. As Rashi says, till then, they never drank wine. That was the first time they ever drank. From the day they sold him, they never drank wine. Neither did Yosef. But that day they drank. Why? Why, Yaakov is not aggravated anymore. What right did they have to drink wine? There was a Ha'orah of Purim. Just like, again, before the Kates, we're not allowed to go into the world of the nations. We're not allowed to rebel. We're not allowed to reveal the end. We're not allowed to be doichek as HaKates. But at there are certain times during the year when we experience Yemais HaMashiach, and then we're in the world of Mashiach. When Yosef and Binyamin and the Shvatim were united, they can drink wine now. There's no prohibition. There's no restriction. They're drinking wine. It's Purim. And before that, Utvayach Tevach V'Hochein, there's Chanukah. Now the Bnei Yisrael tells us the windpipe is Chanukah and the food pipe is Purim. Kone Veshet. The kone, which is the windpipe, that's Chanukah, because as we know, we need our windpipe to talk, to breathe and to talk. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of praising Hashem, so Chanukah originates from the windpipe. The actual Yom Tov of Chanukah, according to most poskim, is not really so much to feast and to eat, but rather to lahalil lahoidos. For that we need our kone, we need our windpipe. Kone is begamatria b'chofei b'kislev. The veshet, which is the food pipe, that's Purim. Purim is eating and drinking and feasting. Kone and veshet together, says the Bnei Yisrael, are equal to the words ace, 470, ace. He says, ace lasis l'Hashem, heferu teiru secha. That on Chanukah and Purim, we're mevatel teiru, because you have to be mevatel teiru to go hear the Megillah, and you're mevatel teiru to go light the Chanukah candles. That's how the Bnei Yisrael interprets this. Perhaps we could add to it another twist, that during Chanukah and Purim, Heferu Torah Secha, we nullify the vows. Heferu from the word Imhofer Yofer. The Shvuos that we swore to uphold, Bizman HaGolas, don't apply during Purim and Chanukah, because in Purim and Chanukah we enter into the world of the nations. And therefore Yosef shows the brothers here the Beis HaShchita. He shows them the windpipe and the food pipe. He shows them that the animal was shechted properly, but he's showing them something else. He's showing them Chanukah and Purim. We're all together now. We have Chanukah and Purim. We don't have to fear any nation whatsoever, even in Golus. And then he said, take the Gid Hanasha. As we mentioned 2 weeks ago, what the Chassam Sofer says, based on the Zohar, also quoted in many Sfarim, that the Gid HaNasha corresponds to Tisha B'Av. Every one of the 365 Lavin in the Torah corresponds to another day of the year. Gid HaNasha is Tisha B'Av. Gid HaNasha is when the Malach dislocated Yaakov's the singular, the Gid HaNasha, the hip bone, whatever, the Gid HaNasha, the Kaf HaYarech. What was he trying to do? There are various interpretations what the Samach Mem, what the Sultan wanted to do. He wanted to prevent the Beis HaMikdash from being built, which the Beis HaMikdash corresponds to the leg of Yaakov Hoid, which is the left leg, the fifth Sfira, Chesed Gevura Teferes Netzach Hoid. The Gemara says in Brachos, Hoid is the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's revealed on Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Hoid. Chanukah is the fifth Yom Tov. You have Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Purim, Chanukah. Chanukah is the fifth Yom Tov. There's the right hand, the left hand, the body, right foot, left foot. The right hand is Pesach, as the Zohar says, the left hand is Shavuos, the body is Sukkos, the right foot is Purim, the left foot is Chanukah. The Gemara actually says we don't eat the Gid HaNasha from the right or the left foot. The Satan tried to dislocate both Gid HaNasha, the right and the left. He was trying to prevent Purim and Chanukah from being revealed. But it's more than that. He was trying to prevent Binyamin from being born. Binyamin wasn't born yet. He was trying to sort of castrate Yaakov somehow, that Yaakov should not be able to have another child. We find the word Yerech used concerning children. Yoytze Yerech Yaakov, those who come out of his thigh. An expression used for having children. Vayiga b'chaf yerechoi. Vayiga is b'gematria Chanukah. Kaf yerechoi is b'gematria Purim. Yaakov did not have Binyamin yet. The Satan is hoping to prevent Yaakov from being able to have another child, so there shouldn't be no 12 Shvatim. He should not have a Mita Shleima. And if Binyamin is not born, there's no Chanukah, there's no Purim, which because Chanukah and Purim originate from Binyamin. Mordechai and Esther are descendants of Binyamin. Chanukah is in Kislev, the month of Binyamin. Even though, as the Shalah writes, Yosef is considered Chanukah. Yosef, in many respects, is a remnant of Chanukah. But without Binyamin, Chanukah is not complete. Here, when Yosef sees Binyamin, Binyamin is alive and well, and as the Gemara in Saita, in fact, says that Yosef was supposed to have 12 Shvatim. And by Yofoizu's Roya Yadav, because of the Maisa with Paitifar, says 10 Tipei Zera came out of his fingers, whatever that means, we don't really understand. But as a result, Yosef only had 2 children, Menashe and Ephraim. Binyamin had 10. Binyamin had 10 children, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, and all of them were named after Yosef, as Rashi brings in this week's parasha. When Yosef meets Binyamin for the first time, and he asks him, how many children did you have? And he tells him 10, he asks him what their names are, and why did you name them that? And he says, every one of them I named for a different reason pertaining to my brother. And here we see the connection of Yosef and Binyamin. Together they both had 12 children. Yosef has 2, Binyamin has 10, another 12 Shvatim. It's like sort of from Rachel itself, there are 12 children. And when Yosef sees Binyamin, and also he hears that Binyamin has these 10 children, then there's nothing to fear. We have Chanukah, we have Purim, and as there's a sefer called Binyan Shloimeh, Shailos HaTshuva's Binyan Shloimeh, written by Reb Shloimeh from Vilna, Goyin Adir. He writes that the Isser, the prohibition of eating Gid HaNasha, does not apply in Yemais HaMashiach. He says a big chiddush, but this is what he says. That when Mashiach will come, will be allowed to eat the Gid HaNasha. Al kein lo yochel b'nei Yisrael is Gid HaNasha. He says, ad hayoyim hazeh. That means only in Olam hazeh. But in the future we will be able to. Why? Simple, because if the Gid HaNasha corresponds to Tisha B'Av, and if not for the fact that the Gid HaNasha was dislocated, there would not have been a Tisha B'Av. The Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. Therefore, when we experience the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when Mashiach will come, there's no prohibition of eating the Gid HaNasha. The Steichemed doesn't like that. The Steichemed shries against that. Mitzvahs are not going to be bought, Allah said, love, how could you say such a thing? Okay, but that's what he says. Based on what he says, perhaps we can interpret here, when Yosef shows them the windpipe and the food pipe, as the Gemara says, to show them that the animal is shechted properly, and he says, take the Gid HaNasha, so we all interpret it to mean, remove the Gid HaNasha and throw it out. Perhaps Yosef was telling them, take the Gid HaNasha and eat it. It's Yemais HaMashiach now, it's Chanukah. Chanukah is the tikkun, is the rectification of that which occurred on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Kol HaYoyim Dova. Dova, which is the same letters as Hoyd. We lost the splendor of Klal Yisrael. We lost the Beis HaMikdash. On Chanukah, we experienced the Tikkun of Hoyd. The Beis HaMikdash is the Gematria Matis Yahu. The Beis HaMikdash is rededicated. Pinu is Hechelach. In fact, the Svarim tell us the actual Chanukah for the Beis HaMikdash, the second one, really occurred Chanukah time, even though the Beis HaMikdash had been built 214 years before this, but we were under Persian rule, and then for 180 years under Greek rule, so there was never really a great Chanukah Habayis ceremony. The real Chanukah Habayis for the second Beis HaMikdash occurred now, during Chanukah, which is why many say there is a mitzvah to eat and drink, to celebrate the Chanukah HaMizbeach. Oz Egmar B'Shir Mizmar, Chanukah HaMizbeach. So Chanukah is a Yom Tov where we celebrate the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is revealed again. Now, not just the second Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash. The Yemais HaMashiach, when we will be allowed to eat the Gid HaNasha. So Yosef shows them the Gid HaNasha and says, take the Gid HaNasha, you can eat it now. And that's where Chanukah is hinted in these words, "Utvayach tevach v'hochein ches vav heichof nun." Right here in the parasha called Miketz, where there's the Giloy HaKetz, the Ketz has arrived. On Chanukah we experience the Ketz. We're allowed to be doichik the Ketz. We can be megal of the Ketz because we are in the Ketz. We're in the zman of the Ketz. It's interesting. The Arizal said that the Ketz of Mashiach is hinted in this first pasuk of Miketz. When Mashiach is going to come is in this first pasuk. Where, we don't know. He said, according to many, Tavshin Lamed Vav, Tavshin Samach, they found it always, why this pasuk? What does this pasuk have to do with the Ketz of Mashiach? Because this is the pasuk that deals with Ketz Sam Lachoyshech, this is the pasuk which deals with the Ketz of Yosef's personal galus, of his incarceration, of his Choyshech. It's the end of his Choyshech, and we read it at the same time that we experience the end of the Choyshech of Yavon. Then this is the Ketz of all Ketzim, all the Ketzim are here. And eventually, when it'll happen, we'll see how it's hinted in this pasuk. This is where it is. The Gemara says that when Mashiach will come, he will play a harp of eight strings. Kinar shel shmoina nimin. Just like we light now the eight candles. Kinar shel shmoina nimin is begematria vayihi miketz shnasayim yamin. Rashi tells us, what does miketz mean? Kisargumai misoif. Like Targum says, the end. In the time of Matis Yahu, we experience the end of the Choshech. The Ketz, Sam LaChoshech, the Ketz of the Choshech of Yavon. At the end of the Parsha, Yosef orders that the goblet, his silver goblet, called the Gaviah, should be placed in the sack of Binyamin. What is this Gaviah here? What was this? Some crystal ball or something? What was this that Yosef actually had? The Mekubolim have a heyday with this. They're very busy with what exactly this Gavia is. The Bnei Yisraelchah tells us that the word Gavia is a combination of two words or two expressions. Yud Gimel, Ayin Beis. Yud Gimel is 13 and Ayin Beis is equal to Chesed. 13 times Chesed. That's the 13 Midos HaRachamim. 13 times Chesed. The number 13 is associated with Purim and with Chanukah. Purim, we know, occurred on the 13th of Adar. It was on the 13th of Nisan that Haman cast a lot, and sometimes there's a 13th month, like this year, the Adar Sheni, the 13th month, when we have Purim. Purim is in the 13th month, if there's an Ibiyar like this year, Neshanam Luberes. Purim is a Yom Tov, as it says, that the 13 Midos HaRachamim are revealed. And the same is with Chanukah. On Chanukah, there's a minhag that many even have, to have in mind, when we light the menorah, to have in mind the 13 Midos HaRachamim, even though it's only 8 days Chanukah, so the first day, the last day, you have in mind 5. So you have to get the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So Gavia is a word. First of all, the word Gavia is found only one other time in Chumash by the Menorah. The Menorah had Gaviim, which are goblet-shaped designs, 22 of them. And here we find the Gavia. And where's the Gavia being told to be placed? Where is Menashe being told to place the Gavia? In the sack of Binyamin. The sack of Binyamin is in Binyamin's portion. Binyamin's portion is Kislev. Binyamin's portion is the Beis HaMikdash. That's where Binyamin's chelik is the Beis HaMikdash where the Nes of Chanukah occurred. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof, Baboike Yechalad, Ulo Erev Yechalik Sholom. Ben Kseif of Shochein, the Shechina rests in the portion of land of Binyamin. Binyamin, the silent one, the one who didn't talk. Gaviah is Begematria Peh. Binyamin was Nizhar in Shmiras HaPeh. He deserves the Gaviyah. There are two psukim, it's amazing, one pasuk that is concerned with Chanukah and one pasuk that's concerned with Purim, both connected with this idea of 13 times Chesed. The Bnei Yisrael was very busy with this. It's just a very interesting phenomenon that if you take the word Chesed, which is 72, and you multiply by 13, you get 936. 936 is equal to 13 times Chesed. This is a number found in many Svarim concerning various psukim. There are two psukim, one in Micha, concerning Chanukah, where the pasuk says, "Ki eshev b'choshech Hashem or li." When, despite that I sit in darkness, Hashem is my light. That's Chanukah. That even though it's dark, but Hashem lightens up for us. Chanukah occurs in the time when we have the longest nights. These are the longest nights of the year, the Leilei Teves or Aruchim. But yet we have the Or of Chanukah, the Or that comes after the Choshech of Yovan. Ki eshev b'choshech Hashem or li is begamatria 13 times Chesed. On Purim we have the words, the famous words, Asher yishletu ha-Yehudim. That's the time when the Jews rule, even Bisman HaGolus. They were still in Golus at that time, but there was a Shlita, there was a rule, they were able to, again, enter into that world of the future when there are no restrictions or limitations of the Gimel Shavuos. Asher Yishletu HaYehudim is also equal to 13 times Chesed. And both are associated with the Gid HaNosha, because it's the Gid HaNosha that the Samach Mem, that the Satan was trying to dislocate, to prevent Purim and Chanukah from being revealed, so that there could be no Yom Tov in which he can be defeated. Asher al kaf hayorech, the pasuk says that the malach touched the gid Asher al kaf hayorech. Asher al kaf hayorech is also equal to 13 times Chesed. Therefore, Yosef tells Menashe, which is the same letters as Shmoina, put the gavia in the sack of Binyamin. That's where it belongs. In Binyamin's portion, in Purim and in Chanukah, that's when the 13 times Chesed, the Gaviyah, the Yud Gimel Palm and Ayin Beis, deserve to be revealed. If you'll notice, at the end of the Parsha, it says the word Gaviyah 5 times. 5 times the word Gaviyah is mentioned at the end of the Parsha. Just as we know at the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, there are 5 times that it says Or. 5 times that it says Or, corresponding to the 5 portions of the 5 Chalokim of the Neshama, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, which every Jew has. And on Yom Kippur, we know we daven 5 times. The Kohen Gadol changes clothes 5 times, goes to the mikveh 5 times. That's the time when these 5 chalakim of the neshama are revealed. And being that Chanukah is the Gemar Chasim Atayva, this is the Yom Tov in which we all receive a Gemar Chasim Atayva. For those who Chas V'Shalom have not yet received the Chasima on Yom Kippur, the same revelation that occurs on Yom Kippur, as we know, Yom Kippur is a day in which the Kohen Gadol does all the services. Chanukah was a Yom Tov that was given to us through the Kohen Gadol, Matisyahu. Ben Yoichanan, the one who abolished the announcement in the Beis HaMikdash of Ura Lama Sishan Hashem, do not cry out Hashem to awaken, because it's not the proper thing to do. So Matisyahu was the one who gave us the Yom Tov of Chanukah, in which Hashem's Kaviyachal is awakened. We do experience that Ta'iru Ta'iru of Atcha Techplatz. We are in that world of Kates. Therefore, Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov, we light the Lamed Vav Neiros Shel Chanukah is Begamatria Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yechida, which is also equal to Chodesh Mila Shabbos. And therefore, this great Yom Tov that we now begin tonight, Chaf Hei Kislev, in which the Gaviyah is Be'amtachas Binyamin, this is the 5th Yom Tov. We have the word Gaviyah 5 times at the end of the parasha, corresponding to the 5 times of Or, at the beginning of Bereshis. We should really appreciate this Yom Tov the way we should, understand that we are now in the Kates. This is the Gilei HaKates. We are now in a very, very opportune time to ask Hashem for all our needs, to be mevakesh from Hashem for the ultimate Gilei HaKates, for the real Kates, for the Kates of Mashiach, which is already high time, already that it should happen. And we know that, as the pasuk says here, that Binyamin receives 5 portions, Chamesh Yodais, 5 portions Binyamin received more than the rest of the brothers. Chamesh Yodos is Begamatria Tavshin Samaches. May we be zeicher that this year of Tavshin Samaches we should receive the Chamesh Yodos, Rabin Biyad Ma'atim, Tmeim Biyad Tahirim, Rishon Biyad Tzadikim, all the 5 times that we say Yad and the Yalanisim that we begin saying tonight. And just as by Yomim Hohen, Bizman Hazer, we should experience in our time, there are enough Yevonim and Misyavnim and Hellenists and Yevonim in our time we have to deal with. Especially from Golas Yishmael causing us all the problems. And being that Binyamin is the Sitnoi Shal Yishmael, now that we have Binyamin here at the end of the parasha, Yosef and Binyamin together, to be able to combat Esav and Yishmael, we should be zeichet to accomplish that. And all together experience the Kates, Vayihimi Kates Shnasayim Yomim, the Ace Kates, the Esa Ur Kitoiv, and the revelation of the Ur Hagonas. And
for those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.